I have no idea what I'm going to say. This is the news, according to me. Well, good happy morning, happy Tuesday morning to you this morning. It is Tuesday morning, February 14th, Valentine's Day. And I was just kind of perusing through my, video feed. And I happened to find this title on the Washington Free Beacon. It says, "Happy Valentine's Day. Find someone who loves you the way journalists love themselves." I thought that was pretty funny. So anyway, I have in my hand a cup. And I, as you know, if you're a longtime listener of this show, you will know one of the feature presentations of my show is the what's in my cup presentation. Today I have two cups again, as I did yesterday. Now, if you're a new time listener, that would be somebody who's just started listening to the show, this first time listener possibly. I first have to tell you that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an epidemiologist. I am not a financial counselor or guide of any sort. I'm not a theologian even. I'm just a guy with a microphone. And in fact, this morning I don't even have a microphone. Well, there's a microphone built into my iPad. I decided this morning to sit down in my kitchen and just have an intimate moment with my listeners. So here you are. This is the moment. Hope you enjoyed it. I just decided, rather than go downstairs, my cat has a tendency to like to, he likes to hang out downstairs because he knows I come down there. He knows my routine. So he'll go down there and then he wants to be held and petted and stuff. And I have to boot him out because unfortunately I still don't have my sound booth moved into my basement area there yet. The sound booth would keep him locked out and would not allow him to be inside there. And it would be very, easy for me to, do the show without him crawling around on my desk and getting in behind the computer and trying to play games with me, which is what he likes to do. So I have to put him outside, I have to put him out of the basement area there, I have to close the door. It makes me feel bad that I have to do that to him. So I don't like to do that. So I just gonna let him figure out that I'm up here now, and he can come up here and play around on the table if he wants to. So I'm sitting here in my kitchen dining area. I have what's called a great room. It's not because it's great. It's just that that's what they call it. It's a it's kind of a combination kitchenette dining area. There's another area that's supposed to have a dining room table, but it just doesn't work for us. To have a dinner. We don't have dinner here, per se. When we have people over, we usually put them out on the porch. And then we eat inside where it's nice and warm. There's an area where there's like a little chandelier thing. It's kind of a phony, fake little chandelier. It's probably a $30 thing that's hanging down from the ceiling. And of course, the ceilings are high. They're vaulted ceilings. And then it's got this area where there's like a living room area with a big picture window, and then you get the fireplace over there, and all this stuff is all over and it's just a one big room. So because they saved money on putting up walls, so when the dishwasher's running and you're over there sitting in the living room, you can hear the dishwasher running really well. I think that's the purpose of it. That's the feature of a great room. Then of course the rest of the house is all normal. You have a hallway and you have bedrooms and stuff like that. So that's what I'm. So I'm sitting here in this dining area in the kitchen this morning, just to be. I'm just having my cup of chai with my vanilla chai with my vanilla creamer, and I've also got my backup cup of sweet tea that I made myself. Now I don't have any peach nectar in this one. The peach nectar has a tendency to get old. If you don't keep it sealed up really well, it has a tendency to get old. And it gets a little bit saucy. So I didn't really want to drink that this morning. So I had a little bit left in my cup, and I decided to wash that out and just fill it with just regular old sweet tea. Homemade sweet tea. So this morning, We'll talk a little bit about a few things. I'm not as on fire as I was yesterday. I think I've had a lot of pent-up opinions yesterday morning. And my show went on for almost an hour straight of me just yakking my... And I had a couple of recordings, which I will not... I don't have any recordings of today, which is why one of the reasons I decided to just do this on my iPad this morning. I'm just going to talk to you on my iPad and hopefully be able to get this thing posted. That's the biggest problem with the iPad. Sometimes it doesn't transfer over well when I record things on the voice recorder thing here on the iPad. The recorder thing works fine, but when I try to transfer things, files over sometimes to my other DAW, my digital audio workstation, I have some issues sometimes. Now, I've noticed that it only happens with the computer that I have at the office, the main headquarters. When I try to transfer, just drag and drop files in there, it does something weird. It has a very weird recording time. It has something to do with import settings, and I haven't really dug into that far enough to figure it out yet. But the way I work around that is, believe it or not, I send it to an email. Send it in an email to myself. Pull out the email, and I put that in a file. And I put that file. I can drop that file into my DAW, and it works fine. So I don't know what's going on there. So I have a few things I want to talk about this morning. One is this whole balloon thing. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if you've heard about what's going on in, first of all, big news that Turkey and Syria, apparently the earthquakes that have happened there, have just devastated multitudes of people. I'm not sure how big of a town you live in. But most people live in I think the average size town is around 15,000 people, 20,000 people, something like that. They've lost at least 20,000 and then it's expected to double. Now they are finding some people, the survivors in the rubble and that kind of thing. And of course there's the aftershocks and all the stuff that's going on. Which brings up some interesting points about the end times. There have been bad earthquakes throughout my entire lifetime. I've heard, there'd be a bad earthquake in India or a bad earthquake in a really highly populated area. Just does devastating things, especially with this, with the kind of construction that some places have. And so they have this, the issue comes up with, this is the sign of the times. And it is, to some extent, but earthquakes have been happening for, millennia. And it's interesting to hear some of the theories about the Earth and the world and how, cataclysms happen and these cataclysmic events that happen every so many thousands of years and how it destroys society and society advances again and then it's destroyed again. And then there's all kinds of theories about a lot of different things. And there's some... Very interesting biblical correlations to some of this stuff. And I'm not going to get into that today, but it's fascinating to me that some of the scientific evidence, archaeological evidence, and the biological evidence, things of, animal history, places where they'll find fossilized remains and even just remains of like woolly mammoths and that kind of thing. And how it really points to a flood, a worldwide flood that happened. Now, some of the theories on this, there are some people who, some scientists, there are secular scientists who totally have a theory that there have been many worldwide floods, worldwide. And when I say worldwide, I mean cataclysmic all over the world. And one of these theories is that there was a pole shift. And what happens is the Earth kind of wobbles on its axis and ends up spinning on a different axis for various reasons. And in the process of that, the water and the air around the Earth continue to spin in the same direction while the Earth itself shifts. Now, what this does is it just basically wipes everything out because the Earth is spinning, if you could measure it in this way, at about 1,000 miles per hour. We're moving about 1,000 miles per hour right now as the Earth is spinning. The Earth is about 24,000 miles around, and every 24 hours, it goes around, makes a complete revolution. So it's going about 1,000 miles per hour, just a little over 1,000 miles per hour. Now, think about that if that were to shift. If all of a sudden we made a direct left turn on an instant, how everything else, your body's going to go flying, first of all, about 1,000 miles per hour in one direction, while the Earth is going a different direction. Of course, all the air and water is also going to be going right along with you as you try to, all of a sudden, the wind, relative wind, once your feet land on the surface again and you come to a stop, that's not going to happen with the wind. It's all going to be, or the water, it's all going to be moving about 1,000 miles per hour. It's all going to be going everywhere. It's going to be quite the mess. I don't think there are enough. That's why I'm investing in Scott Towels. I think that they're going to be a big seller after this happens. Just get some, invest in some really good absorbent paper towels because I think we're going to need them. There's going to be quite a mess to clean up. You thought you made a mess. You ain't seen nothing yet. So, anyway, I'm getting off on a weird cat word thing here. But so the whole idea that we're getting close to the end of the world. Now we're seeing signs in the skies. Of course, people are talking about aliens all of a sudden, and it's just going crazy. And of course, this administration. I think this administration just loves to keep people on this idea of, well, now we got to shoot every balloon down that we see. I don't know about you. If you spent any time out on the ocean or even anywhere near people along the coastline, Lake Michigan is known for this. It's pathetic. Anywhere east of Chicago on Lake Michigan, you can be sailing along out there and about every 5-10 miles, you're going to see a balloon floating out in the water somewhere. Sometimes, groups of balloons that didn't make it across the water, didn't make it across the lake. It's a pretty long lake. It's 50-some miles across there. So the amount of balloons that get lost in Chicago end up in the lake. Who knows how many piles of balloons there are in the bottom of the lake. So every single balloon now that's out there is getting shot down by an F-22 Raptor. Sure, that costs $1 million every time they do that. Which, when you stop and think about it, if the Chinese just wanted to mess with us, they'd just be out there, and there's probably some kid in a garage in Dakota that's just sending up balloons now. We'll see if they shoot this one down. Just different things like this. They're making a big deal of it. And I have to believe, and this is, I think that several other people are on this theory, and this is not unusual. The reason it's not too far off of a theory, and the reason people come up with this is because they've done it before. They're either using this stuff as a distraction, or they're actually perpetuating it and causing a distraction. Stuff that would normally have not have been, wouldn't have even been addressed is now all of a sudden they're overly aggressive about, well, the president, on the president's order, because the president has to sound tough now. Chuck Schumer had to come out. I played the video yesterday. Excuse me. I played the video yesterday of Chuck Schumer. Oh, we got a lot of intelligence by watching this thing go across and surveil us. We surveilled it, and we learned more about this balloon than they learned about us. Well, they would have learned that anyway. Oh, they would have learned it anyway. This is the kind of ridiculous, just excusable incompetence. This is, if this would have happened under any other administration, under Trump, under anybody else, Chuck Schumer would not have been on weekend television with Stephanopoulos making excuses for this. And of course, when Stephanopoulos says, but didn't the Chinese get a lot of information? You can almost tell he's like saying it like he's trying to debunk. Here's your opportunity to debunk it. Well, they would have gotten that anyway. Really, they would have just gotten that anyway, just out of thin air. Because you would have given it to them? How does this? It befuddles me. Obviously, you can tell I'm a little bit verklempt here. I still understand the reasoning here that we're following. Oh, we learned a lot about how they're maneuvering their balloon. Like we're some kind of ancient tribe that's never seen a balloon before. It's ridiculous. They launch missiles. They launch all kinds of stuff all over the planet. We have stuff that falls down on us all the time, and they're concerned about something falling down in the desert, possibly hurting somebody. Well, it might have something nuclear in it. It might have a biological agent. Maybe it does. Maybe it did. Who knows? I don't know. And what gets me is not so much the balloon, it's the hypocrisy. And there's this idea that we had no idea that they had this kind of technology. Yeah, maybe they've even got, like, guns with bullets in them that shoot rapid fire. Maybe they've got, like, armor-plated vehicles that they can drive around. Now, the interesting thing about this, as we've seen in Ukraine, Russia does not have an occupying army. Russia has an army that can defend itself. I guarantee you, if you attacked the motherland over there, that you would see, the Russian people would rise up in defense of their nation, just like any other nation probably would. When they go into attacking another country, and their young people are dying for who knows what kind of a reason they're being told, then it becomes a less popular war. And it becomes a very, when you're the army, when you'd rather be home with your family and you're out occupying somebody else's land and killing people for you don't know why. When you're seen as the aggressor, for what reason? This becomes a very difficult mental battle that you have. And your moral compass tends to get a little bit askew at some point. Now, we've experienced this in our country. Now, we got attacked on 9/11. We went after the people in Afghanistan who supposedly were the perpetrators of this whole thing and were part of the... And the government obviously was hiding these guys. The Taliban was sympathetic, if not supportive, of these guys doing this, what they were doing with the Al-Qaeda group. So there's all this stuff in the background, though, that we get told, of course, and we get the propaganda from our State Department, which likes to play a narrative. That's their job. That's all they do. Their intelligence is so pathetic. They want to have this, the reputation of the all-knowing, we're on top of everything that's going on all over the world. We know everything that's going on all the time because we're keeping America safe. When really they're just surveilling us. And they really don't know. They didn't stop 9/11, obviously. They didn't stop a balloon from coming across our country. They didn't stop the attacks on the towers in, was it 90-something? And it was during the Clinton administration. How many times have they failed? We don't know how many times that they've been successful. But I guarantee you they'd be parading it around if they were. Oh, every day they're stopping attacks. Maybe they are. Maybe that, I don't know. Probably, the underwear bomber? Is that the kind of attack saving us from? Guy who lit his shoes on fire? So now, you know, so now 300 million people have to take their shoes off when they go through an airport. Because we have absolutely no perspective on any of this stuff. No perspective whatsoever. I've got a security camera here at the house, and once in a while it resets, and I don't know why. Like right now it's resetting, and it's a little disheartening. I'm not sure what's going on there. So we have it's just creepy because, you know, I don't know what it's doing. Is it listening? It might be listening. Are you listening? So I'm almost out of my chai. Been talking so long here. A couple things that are going on in the world right now. One is this train wreck, literally a train wreck. Now, I'm not talking about the one in Ohio. I'm talking about the one in D.C. But well, let's talk about the one in Ohio as well. It was an actual derailment, and apparently there was some. Apparently, there's some misinformation that was given to some of the authorities. Either that, or they're claiming they were given that misinformation. There was apparently more chemicals involved in this train derailment than what they were originally told. Now, vinyl chloride, when it burns, it's a serious toxin. It's highly explosive, but it also, when it's burned, it actually becomes cyanide. And it is a very dangerous gas. I don't know exactly whose idea it was to just burn these chemicals so that they wouldn't blow up. I'm not sure how that works. I guess there's a chemical reaction that would cause an explosion. However, if you burn it, it doesn't explode. It just burns. So they decided to create this kind of explosion burn, controlled burn type thing, rather than just to have a random explosion type thing, random, you know. I don't know all the science behind it, what they're thinking about. Now, DeWine, I think, is the government over there, or the governor over there, and he approved this stuff. People are on the ground there are experiencing some really weird stuff. Their animals are dying, fish are dying. I don't know how much of this to believe. I'm sure there's some things being said that aren't true. I'm sure there's a lot of things that are being said that are true. And in the meantime, this whole thing is it's just really sad. I mean, the initial accident, no one lost their life in the initial accident. But now it looks like over time, this may be a huge, it's an area near Pittsburgh. It's on the east side of Ohio. Now, I know Wooster, Ohio. I know some people in Wooster, Ohio, in that area and east of there. There's a lot of farmland in that, in it, just south of the Cleveland area, southeast. It's a kind of a rural area there. And I don't know how much this is going to affect, and I assume it's going to affect people a lot more to the east, because most of the fallout and the prevailing winds are going to be blowing from the west to the east. That's going to happen there. So, again, hold those people in your prayers. So it's just going to be a very, very difficult time for some of these people. Some of these people have returned to their homes. The question is whether or not there was more than just vinyl chloride in that. On those trains. I guess there were some other chemicals that the authorities were unaware of or didn't want to hear about or didn't want to tell anybody about, that they were just hoping would go away, that were actually as very high in carcinogens, cancer-causing agents, all kinds of things. So there's some questions there about what all is going on with all that. Roman Balmakov on Facts Matter had a really good expose on it, just very very thorough, as he usually is. He does a lot of very good investigative journalism, which is leads me to another. This program is brought to you by my future book. I'm going to be writing a book eventually, but I'm also going to be starting another podcast, and it's a podcast about conspiracy theories and just unexplained. I don't know that it's conspiracy theories necessarily, but unexplained events or mysteries. The idea of a conspiracy theory has become, of course, it's become so stigmatized with, well, it's a phony theory. It's a phony lame brain, thing. And it's not true because it's conspiracy theory. It's this, it's you're a hoaxster or whatever. A lot of conspiracy theories have turned out to be correct. And they're not theories anymore once you prove them to be facts. So you have a theory, just like a scientific theory, but for some reason it's taken on this stigma, this idea that, it has a certain, you have a certain problem with it. Now, there are conspiracies out there. People conspire all the time. You can be arrested for conspiracy to commit crime. You can be arrested for conspiracy for, it's not conspiracy theory. They proved the conspiracy was real. People do conspire. And there are conspiracies out there. There are people who get together and they do things, or they have a plan to do nefarious things. So nefarious. So just to call something a conspiracy or a conspiracy theory does not diminish its possibility of being true. And that's kind of the point of this other. Podcast I'm going to be doing some things that just talk about mysteries, just kind of delve in, and it'll be short stories, 10 to 15 minutes long, 10 minutes long maybe, just quick little 10 minute snippets of different things that have happened, ideas, the CIA, the government stuff that's going on, and different people who've done some things, and other, just mysteries and theories about things, tragedies, whatever it is. Things like MK Ultra, that kind of stuff. And it's documented things that have actually happened. And what's behind it all. And that's really the essence of the book then, is to tie all these things together and say, okay, so who is behind all of this? And I think the book will help to answer that question, at least to draw and connect the dots and draw the lines to point in the right directions. It's the subtitle of the book is going to be The Evidence of Things Unseen. So that gives you an idea of, hopefully I can put together some of the evidence of things unseen that you will be able to see. Once you see the evidence, I can tell that a person has gone through an area. If they leave footprints there, well, the evidence is they went through here. I can't see them, but I can see the evidence of where they've been. And that's kind of what the book is about, or it's what it's premised on. Okay, enough of that. We have another thing that is going on right now is the Hunter Biden issue. Now, I don't know what's happening with my throat this morning. I'm obviously need more chai. there you go. I have more chai. The Hunter Biden issue, it's continuing to drag on. Now, part of their theory here, I think what they usually have a couple of ways of going about this stuff. They'll either come out, totally dismiss it and debunk it. Say, it's been debunked. It's a debunked theory. Really, who debunked it? How did you debunk it? They just come out and say it's debunked. They just pronounce it so. And I never understand this and how they get away with it. Because it's just like they all of a sudden just pronounce something the way it is, and the media goes along with it. Now, Corinne Jean-Pierre is, of course, an incompetent individual. I won't say more than that. Has done this as well as Sandy Cortez, Raskin, so many other people on the left will just come out and just proclaim that this is a theory. It's just the whole Hunter Biden thing is just nothing but a hoax. It's a half fake conspiracy theory. That was the term that Cortez used. And I mentioned this yesterday. Well, which half is fake? Which, explain to me, which part is true and which part is the only parts that are true are the parts that are G-rated? Everything else is all made up? I don't understand exactly how much have you read there, Ms. Cortez? How much have you researched? Have you looked into this at all? Or are you just proclaiming that it's not so? You're trying to protect your people. Now, the right and the left are both guilty of this kind of thing. I've seen people on the right be just as hypocritical and protective of people on the right who do the same things that people on the left. George Santos has taken some shots from people on the right. Now they're saying he should resign. You know, people like Mitt Romney. You talk about being a despicable individual. Mitt Romney walks up to the guy and just calls him all kinds of names on the House floor. It was during right before the president's speaker, State of the Union address. I don't know if you heard about any of this. He walks past the guy, claims he shouldn't be here. He's disgusting. He's filthy. Calls him all kinds of names and basically just has this very. Of course, now Santos afterwards said that's a very un-Mormon-like thing to do. You know, when a reporter asked him about it, which I think is a cheap shot as well. I don't like. Well, you're that's very un-Christian of you. That's very un-Muslim. Whatever it is that you're. I don't like it when somebody, especially. Now, I don't think Santos is a Mormon. I never heard, by the way, Mitt Romney challenge Harry Reid when Harry Reid lied about him on the Senate floor, on the record, making a public speech stating that Romney hadn't paid his taxes in the last 10 years, lying through his teeth. I didn't hear Romney walk up to Reid and say, you're despicable, you're disgusting, you shouldn't be here because you're a liar. I didn't hear him say that. Wonder why. Wonder why I didn't say that. Harry Reid was a Mormon. Mitt Romney is a Mormon. He wouldn't call him out. His brother attacking him, lying about him on the Senate floor in a speech that went into the record books. And he didn't call him out on it. But he thinks George Santos. He's willing to call him out. Call him all kinds of names. Harry Reid was later asked about this. Why did you say that when you knew it wasn't true? Well, he didn't win. That was the whole purpose. To keep Romney from winning. The end justifies the means. I may not have mentioned it maybe in the last few shows I've done, but the basic philosophy, the core value of people on the left is the end justifies the means. They don't care if they have to lie, cheat, steal, because their higher purpose demands that they do anything to get the ball across the goal line, even if they have to lie, cheat, and steal to make it happen, because it is such a justified thing to put that ball on the other side of that goal. We got to get the win. We got to get the point. It's so important that we do because we have to save our democracy. Country is at stake here. It's their power that's at stake. It's their grip, their death grip, their bony little fingers' death grip on power and control and money. is all at stake, and they have to protect it at any cost. That's what it's all about. Well, he didn't win, did he? So I accomplished my purpose by lying about him. Yeah. That's the way these people are. I've been, I want to change gears here a little bit. Now I was going to talk about the FBI and this whole Hunter Biden thing a little bit, but I'm just going to launch into something else. I'm going to kind of draw the show to a close here a little bit early, but I do want to talk about this one last thing about the show itself. And I've really kind of made some interesting thoughts about where the show is going and what the nature of the show is. I may be changing things a little bit. It's maybe taking on a little bit more of a spiritual tone to it. I've always kind of wanted to have a little bit more of a biblical or spiritual perspective with what's going on with politics. And I'm trying to grapple with how that will work, how that will look, and how I would incorporate that into the show in a normal, not, I don't want it to be I don't want to put it in a pigeonhole. I don't want to pigeonhole it into a box like CBN or something like that. I don't want it to be that way. I want it to be a normal show with normal talking points and just me being able to talk about my opinions, but also to bring in a little bit more of a biblical perspective, a spiritual perspective. And so I'm trying to work a little bit. I do that a little bit, but I would like to really be a little bit more deliberate with some of those things without being unnatural or just, I want it to be organic. I guess that's what I'm saying, if that makes any sense. That's the only term I can think of to make it more sense with it. And not to be canned or just to have some kind of, you know, platitudes that are just go out there with, you know, just, you know how it is. You know, I think you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it done. Now Rush Limbaugh, in the background, he was a man who had, his brother is obviously, had a lot of faith. I think it's David Limbaugh, I think is his name. He's a pastor. He was actually a pastor, written some books, very open about his faith. Rush was not as open about his faith. However, he definitely was of the Christian faith. And he would talk about that. He especially around the Christmas time, he would have special shows that were just like Mannheim Steamroller and that kind of thing. And it was, but he wasn't upfront about talking about biblical issues. I don't know, and I don't know why for sure. You know, he was staunchly pro-life, very careful about things he would say in certain situations. And I don't know if he just didn't want to delve into those things because he didn't feel like he was an expert in those things. Wasn't his area of expertise. I don't know. I don't know what his reasoning was there. I have no idea. However, I think there's a certain, you know, the two subjects you're not supposed to talk about in public, religion and politics. I think I think it needs to be talked about. And I guess without being, I don't know, put in a pigeonhole, put in a particular, you know, just the typical right wing, flag waving, you know, Bible thumping box. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't want to be in that box. I want to be a little bit outside that and try to make sure that we understand the perspectives of the entire paradigm. You know, kind of changing your paradigm, keeping the perspective that you have on things fresh and open-minded, I guess, without, you know, with, or at least not really, not even necessarily open-minded. I'm not sure if I even like that term, but eyes wide open, I guess, would be a better, just the ability to see things objectively, the objectivity of our vision, of our sight, I think is important. As believers, I think that's very important, that we not just close off and listen to ourselves in an echo chamber, and that's where things start to become creepy, because we can start saying things that, you know, we just follow down a particular path and we don't really pay attention to what's going on in the world, and we become irrelevant, and we can't relate to the world. Now, it's not that we're supposed to be of the world, but we are definitely in the world. And if we care about the people around us that are in the world, and we want to see more of them come out from among them, we need to be able to relate to them, at least to be able to speak their language and understand where they're coming from. So we have to have that objectivity, I think. And I think that that's crucial for, I think, for the people, for people in the church to be able to have that kind of relatability, the ability to communicate. And, you know, most of communication is listening. I know I usually tend to talk too much, but that's why I have this show. That way I can get it all out, I'm done. So, once again, folks, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Maybe if you've got some suggestions, you can, you know, if there's any place you can comment on the video, on this, on the, not the video, but the audio here, send me an email. I don't remember what my email address is. I think it's in the description of the, if you're looking, if you're on Podbean, I think you can find it in the description. I know you can if you listen to it on Castos. I believe it's also posted on Spotify and some other places where you can listen to the podcast. So when you get a chance, write a comment, see what you think. Maybe you got some suggestions, or maybe, you know, you got an idea. And maybe that idea isn't, maybe that idea will spark another idea. You never know where that's going to lead. You know, it's just, your input is precious and valuable to me. So I'd appreciate you, any kind of input that you give me, other than, you know, telling me that I stink. And that's not bad either. That's, you know, it's important to know that. I already know that. So that's not something you're telling me. I can't do anything much with that. I can't change that part. So again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thank you for praying for our nation. Thank you for praying for me, as I will be praying for you. And we will just care for each other through this entire journey that we have, this little thing called life. And we will see each other on the Wednesday. So tomorrow morning, there will be another show, and I'm looking forward to the Friday morning live show. Now, tomorrow morning's show, I believe, will be a little bit earlier, because I'm going to be getting up. I've decided, part of my plan is to get up early each morning, get some things accomplished. I'm actually going to start rising up a little bit earlier each day and getting some things done, because I feel like I get more done if I get up earlier. So I'm just going to get the show done, get some other things done, get the studying done, and move on from there. And once again, folks, God bless. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful evening. I will see you on Wednesday morning. Take care.